Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Halberstam of ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Court and Depth.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, on Block Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network, and we all go for the prayer. John Coltrane's iconic, dear Lord, dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. We ask you, Lord, to give us not so much what we want, what we need, and we hope what we need is what we want. We thank you for your darling Son Jesus. And of course, we may have the right to the tree of life. As we want to say, we woke up and they closed our right mind. Let you always be what's in our mind. We say, oh, homage to you, the one and only true God. Let anyone say, you're God all by yourself. Amen, darling Son Jesus. Amen. Fox Stanley.
Amen.
Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God. Edward Carroll, Weston Jr. Del Barrow, Harold, the Lady A, the iconic legendary lady, and the Hoopster. And we will start, Hoopster, with you quickly. Thoughts and reflections on the sad news that we heard Friday of the passing of Dean Memminger.
Well, I want to send a lot of thoughts out to the Memminger family and his son, Junior, who's on News 12. I want to send a lot of thoughts out to him and his family. Dean was the nicest guy. As you know, he used to come by to see me at my old job on 86th Street. One of the nicest guys you ever met. I felt bad so it happened to him. Well, the hell of a ball player, defensive ball player, he's going to be well missed. And I know we'll send out the dollars out to the Knicks family, too, the Knicks organization, too. He's going to be well missed.
He was one of the he was the second high school basketball player to make All-City 3 years in a row, followed, of course, Lou Alcindor, who later became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was a part of that last Knicks team to win a championship in 1973. Defensive starler, but a guy that could handle the ball, too, was All-American. 3 years at Marquette, McGuire, who had that subway of guys from here to there, won the NIT in the at the Garden when Marquette won the NIT there when he was on the team. I was a good buddy. I got to find that poem. I did a poem on Dean way back in the day. He always now and then would say, hey, remember that poem you wrote about me? You know, I said, probably opened the show, Dean the Dream had a nightmare and it put him to sleep. And there's no question. It was
Lady JoJo White about him.
Oh, yeah, defense. Lady A, we got you here being a basketball star yourself, one of the elite players. You don't know that much about Dean, but it definitely had to bother you to hear about this. Not so much the passing, too, as the way in which it occurred, you know, the drug overdose had been known for a long time. Dean had some problems. He had supposedly overcame them But in the words of Howard Weston Jr., who's here, who knew Jean well too, sad and touching, Lady A, to leave life in that manner.
Yeah, you know, when Hoopsa told me the other day, I was in shock when I found out that he had passed. You know, kind of reminded me of another good ball player, Sugar Ray Richardson from the New Jersey Jets, Nets, you know, that passed away due to overdose, you know, and cocaine problem. But, you know, it's sad when you hear stories like that. He's moving. Who shall tell you? I was in absolute shock. You know, I still see his son's face, team manager, all the time when I see the New York One News.
Yeah. Right.
Excellent reporter, great journalist. I just feel really sad that you know, he had to leave like under those circumstances.
Very difficult to deal with.
But yeah, kind of brought back memories of Sugar Ray Richardson, the ball player. You know, Len Bias, you know, stuff like that. Guy that left us early, but were able to contribute so much to basketball.
Yeah, it you know, your points you bring, as Rooney says, points well taken. You know, the thing that bothers you is that, you know, somebody you knew, you know, good people, and didn't know the self infliction of the cause of death and the self infliction of the drugs. Harold, you had heard and knew Dean well yourself.
Yeah, I was really shocked about it because I thought he had pretty much broken out of that situation, but you know you never can tell. But I mean, you know, I met Dean quite a few times, you know, in the circuit of, you know, when you lived in New York, especially back in that era, and everything, and you know, everybody known each other passing by. Like I said to you guys before, in that era, there was a small window of guys that can come through and make it to the big time, make a pro, you know, make it to a pro team. And you had to be darn good to get into the NBA back then. And you know, and being a sports entertainer or being an entertainer, period. So mm-hmm. basically, so knowing that, you know, Dean was on the Knicks and everything, and meeting him at certain clubs uptown and things like that, Midtown and all that, it was sad, you know what I'm saying? So he was a good guy, you know, real nice.
Yeah.
Warm guy. I mean, you know, and that's very touching, you know, especially when you hear how it happened. And you know, I don't like to talk about certain people with the negative things on their past were. You know, I just say they were sick. But at the same time, you know, it's just it's a saddening to it all, you know. And listening, and as I've been listening for the last couple of weeks, hearing, you know, things like Mike Tyson and the guy that's on this reality show that plays for the Lakers. And, you know, just hearing these guys, you know, like, you know, other boxers and stuff. And it's just sad. It's just sad because I just don't get it. I just don't get it because if you did a survey and they tell you that if you take this medicine, you're going to die, and you still take the medicine, you know, I don't understand it.
You know what's sad, Harold? You know what's sad, Harold? That it seems like if we play back all the shows that we've done this year, you know, that we've done so many shows within the last year or two, you know, involving guys or people's passions, that you're saying to yourself, man, how could this happen? You know, like the Camacho story, you know, like being involved and him getting shot in Bayamón, Puerto Rico. You know, just so many sad stories that we know that a guy with such talent and provided the world with so much positive, you know,
energy and athletic talent.
Positivity as far as their sport, the sport, and whatnot. And I was sitting back and saying, wow, another tragedy, another person in society that contributed a lot more. You know, it's like it seems like we've been doing a lot more of these shows lately, whether it's a passing due to the fact that someone was ill or died of cancer or had an illness or it's drunk. You know, it's really sad, Doc. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, Doc, we talked about the other day, and I said to you before, I said, these young men, when they were growing up, they wasn't in on the in crowd. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't part of that, you know, when you grow up, you the guy that's the hip guy in the crowd and all that. They was always the shy guy, so they was never recognized. So when they finally made it into a spotlight, and then they, you know, the first thing they did, the guys that was on the side had the girls and everything else, and that was to get the girls. And that's what it's all about. I'm going to let everybody know that's what it's all about, getting the girls. And they get high, then that's what they did. And I tell you, when they get high, they can talk. That's when they get that nerve to talk, because now they're drunk or they're high, whatever it is, they get nerve. But you take them off and they don't know how to hold a conversation. Because, you know, they're afraid. And that's what happens to a lot of these men out here. And that's the fear that they have in this society, that they are not equal with nobody unless they're on a high. And then they talk brave. But when they sober, they can't hold a conversation with people. And that's where the problem is. And you got to start, you know, everybody's talking about we got to change, we got to do this, we're celebrating the 50th year of Martin Luther King. But our problem is that we got to reach our men. Because our men is the ones that don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't even know how to go about it. And if young men can get with certain mentors in this world, and these mentors can teach them how to stay away from things and be a man and get their self-esteem up, because men got low self-esteem these days. Very low self-esteem.
I'm telling you, Harold, right there, you said the key word to everything. Self-esteem. Don't think it's only with men. Don't think it's only with men, because it's rampant in women. If you don't, you know, the reality is that you nailed it right on the head, self-esteem. People do not have confidence in themselves. They don't have confidence in who they are as people. They don't have direction. They lack discipline. Those qualities and those traits are rampant in our society, especially in the Hispanic and Black society. I was reading something that said that, you know, as far as seeking, like, you know, like mental health, or you know, mental health does not necessarily mean that somebody has an illness. It also means, like, therapy and being able to speak to people. A lot of majority of Hispanics and Puerto Ricans and Blacks don't seek out having therapy, because it's frowned upon in a culture, you know? And to me, I said to myself, wow, like, how do you expect people to get themselves together, you know, or if they don't have anyone to speak to or communicate to other people about what's going on, to better themselves and for their betterment, you know, and for their health, to kind of mentally get themselves together, if they don't use that, if they don't use that resource, how are they going to better themselves? You know?
Well, they're not.
They're not. Exactly. They're so not. If they don't try to do better themselves, their only other outlet is drugs and narcotics. And I'm not saying that's something that we're saying that we're advocating at the time. I'm just saying that that's what they use. And that's the wrong resource to tap into. You understand?
Well, that's
the wrong.
That gives them
and
nerves.
That's why they end up being where they're at. And I totally agree with you. It's all self-esteem. I totally agree.
Well, you know, Hal says too, what it does, it's two things. It drops the defensive mechanisms that inhibit them from rapping and getting with the girls. Two, it's the end thing to do. It's the, you know, it's what's happening, which is really not what's happening, okay? And what happened is what Harold and you said, the lack of this. The thing that made Doc Stanley Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network, Giants lost in overtime to the Jets last Saturday at MetLife Stadium. Jets continued to hold the series lead in the Jets-Giants Metro Bowl, and the field goal in the overtime provided the victory. You got a chance to look at the young quarterback, Geno. Also, couldn't understand why Coach Ryan put in Mark Sanchez in the last minutes of the fourth quarter. He got hurt.
Oh, my God, Doc.
Yeah, he won't be playing. I know a lot of people want to see him out, but not like that. They'll play the Eagles this Thursday, and the Giants will be going to New England and play. It's the discipline, the lack of discipline. And I'm doing this show live from the Mendoza Mansion here, another live studios. I want to thank our hosts, Keith and Susan Mendoza. The thing here, too, is when we came up, Harold, I remember Buck O'Neill told me something. He said, you know, in high school, the sophomore took care of the freshman, the junior took care of the sophomore, the senior took care of the junior. When we came up, there were certain fractions in that you know, a neighbor, the neighborhood, the village, because you know, there were certain things you didn't do because you were not allowed to do. You know, you couldn't drink a beer till you reached a certain age. You couldn't smoke a cigarette till you were grown. There are certain things that you couldn't do because not only would your parents not let you do, but the neighborhood kids. The boy 13 took care of the kid 11. The kid 11 took care of the kid 9. And, you know, Dean came up in that kind of era to a certain degree because him and his age partner, as a nickname, you know, him and Earl Monroe, so you can't be around with a greater person than Earl. I mean, Earl's a pearl of a player, as Brian Taylor said, but more than he's a pearl of a person. So, but the thing you said, too, because I know in talking with Jamie Harris, the great sports writer at Amsterdam News, and also co-host of the show on WRL, you know, he talked about, you know, Dean had a period where he was in the Knicks organization, some things had happened, he left the organization, they brought him back. You know, it's I remember in college, you know, some drugs is just hard to, you know, I guess to get out, especially if you're going to get in an environment, and, you know, it's just, you know, if you don't have, you're not Christ-centered, it's just tough. But
let me say something to you, Doc. Let me say something, everybody. Nothing is hard if you're with the right people. Okay,
That's my point.
So basically, right. If you're walking with a bum, you're gonna be a bum. If you want to
hit around the head. Hit around the head, Harold. Right. Because you know, there's some things you ain't gonna do. What you're saying, there's certain things you ain't gonna do because the crowd don't do it and you know you don't want to shame yourself. But hit around the head, Harold, and then
don't use that excuse, Bob, because I came from one of that situations. I know how the situation works.
You came out the hallway, huh, Harold?
What were you saying?
I had my daddy with me.
No. What were you saying with an excuse, Harold? I'll use no excuse.
No, I'm saying that, you know, we have this thing of trying to give these guys some kind of excuses. I know that they lack of self-esteem is there, okay? My point is that we got to find a method and a way and a schooling, and that's what needs to be done to teach these young men how to escalate in life, okay?
My point, but not using it as an excuse. I was using it as a reason. That was the reason. I mean, I'm not using an excuse. I mean, you know, it's always the right time to do the right thing, and there's never a right way to do the wrong thing. There's no justification in validation of doing what's right. You know, and that, I mean, my thing, I said, Dean, and that, in fact, what I was saying is I kind of don't understand why he kind of went that way being in the rock crowd. I mean, is there a better group of people to be around than Earl Monroe, Frazier, and reading those guys? I mean, those guys are kind of straight shooters. So my thing is, what I'm saying is the residue of that classic line, and you, Harold, you better put this thing down and copyright it, baby, before somebody else use it. Sad and touching.
But you know, him being around them, him being around the Earl Monroe and Walt. Let me tell you what the problem is. He wants to shine like they did. He didn't want to hang with them. He felt that if he hung with them, he'll be below them, okay? With him being that man that played for the Knicks, he had his own group. So he got outside them and did his own thing, which got him in trouble. And that's what the problem was. And that's what's wrong with a lot of the young youth. It's nothing. It's no harm.
Yeah, well, what you're saying, in his clan, he was the man.
Doc, like what Harold was saying kind of took me back because the reality is that, you know, you're saying that he was hanging out with all these ball players, but when that's all said and done, you still gotta go home. And it doesn't matter how popular you are, you know, you still gotta go home, whether it's to an empty apartment, whether it's
No, I agree. I'm not saying so much he was hanging out with them later. I'm trying to say they, in a lot of ways, should have been an example. But I mean, what you're saying and what Harold is saying is that when the lights are out, he's going his own way. No, I mean, no question about it, First Lady.
Let me finish my point. My point is that, you know, that even though that's going on, okay, you still have to have somebody at home base.
Early on, to guide,
if you don't have that, then your foundation is horrible.
The teacher can give you the homework, but you have to have somebody at home to help you do the homework.
Correct.
There's a training.
Howard was saying he still had his dad. You see what I'm saying? And his father was going to knock him behind the head if something was to go wrong. And it's like this. I look at my
Then after that, after his dad beat up on him, Griffin beat up on him, Bill beat up on him.
Hold up. My thing is this. When you have a kid, okay, the kid's 2-3 years old, he's got ready to cross the street. The kid's going to run across the street. He doesn't know danger, okay? So the parent has to hold their hand so they don't get hit by the car. It's the same thing in life. It's the same principle. You know, you're seeing the guy going the wrong way. You're the mentor. You're grabbing that kid. But if you don't have a mentor there to tell you, hey, listen, you got to go the wrong route. You got to understand this is what really matters in life. Like my mother said to me, you see all these people out here? You see all these people out here? She said, you stay the course, you're going to get somewhere. They're going to stay that course, and in 5 years, you see where they're at. And guess what? It was true. High school dropouts, teenage girls are pregnant, the whole time, you know, this one became a crackhead, blah, blah. You know what? But if you stay the course, and you stay disciplined, and you got that good foundation, and you know, take step by step, go day by day, you know, you're going to get to your destination. And I think
you know what it is. It's like you said.
Right,
trust in God.
You're right, Lady D.
There's
nothing you say, darling.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like, and you know what it is, man? It's we're fortunate. The steps of a righteous man are ordered. And, you know, the good Lord, those he have in his hand, we're blessed. We're not better than anybody else. We've just been more blessed than anybody else. And, you know, God is in control, and God has a plan. You know, everybody that goes to church doesn't go to heaven. And as Christ said, I come not to save the world, but those that the Father has given me. And we have to be so grateful that we have been chosen. And, you know, because we deal in a world of not in flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And you see these things. And ladies and gentlemen, we are remembering Dean Memminger and saying happy birthday to my nephew Joe. Happy birthday, Squeeze. I call him Squeeze. And, you know, as Harold says, his great line, set in touching. And Lady A, you know, direction. So, and I remember, you know, what you're saying, Lady, Isaiah Thomas, the great Isaiah Lord Thomas. I remember when I asked him, you know, who was some as I was coming up, he said, hey, you know, my brothers, the guys in the neighborhood, validate again what you're saying, Lady, validate again with the Hoosters and Howard said, you know, and my brothers. You know, Charles Barkley said, you know, you get 12, 13 years old, you're not looking for a basketball, boy. It's your parents. And for you, have to be blessed. Then happy birthday once again to my nephew Joe, his birthday today. Happy birthday, Squeeze. Uncle Mel loves you. I remember last Monday, this time was his birthday.
And Magic Johnson had a birthday too, Doc.
When? What did Magic say?
August. August 8th.
Okay, well, there was a call.
Hey, Doc, I'm ashamed of you, Doc. You don't remember Magic Johnson's birthday?
Hey, baby, listen.
So many birthdays, man. Hey, you can't blame him now. He can't get every birthday. And he just got the president's birthday. He got the president's birthday. So give him some credit now. He didn't forget Barack Obama's birthday.
Listen, I love Magic, baby. I'm going to say this, baby. He ain't no Oscar Robertson. Don't get twisted, baby.
I don't know about that one now. He can play now. He can hang.
Hey, Hoosa, let me tell you some Hoosa. If they had Charlie Sis and Oscars Day, Magic never would have passed them. And as Jerry West said, Magic never won a championship without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Magic ain't nowhere near Oscar's jump shot or defense. Okay? Magic is a great player.
Did he play in that game six against the Sixers?
Hey, Hoopster, you're talking about one game. We're talking about a career. We're talking about Oscar Robertson, who retired from basketball.
Oscar Robertson was a great player. He had the ball on his team with the Bucks now.
I want everybody to know this is the way you wiggle out of a situation. Doc Hoopster, that's because he's so good at what he do.
Oh, no.
We just have him.
Hey, I said you just showed us everybody a good example how to wiggle out of a question and everything. But that was cool. I like that.
Now, but who's you took now. When was Magic's birthday?
It was August 16th. I think it was on the 16th okay. or the 17th.
No, okay.
You got
to come. You know what? You're right. Because I, you know what? I called John Starks on his birthday. In fact, it was funny. Magic's birthday is the 17th. You tell me. Starks is the 10th, along with George McGinnis and Turquoise Irving, and Patrick Ewing was the 5th. So you know, I got to give Magic a call. I got to apologize.
Listen,
and
Doc,
we got a good 5 minutes left. Good.
Good way, brother. Good way.
Hey,
I love that.
Hey, Patrick, two Jets got cut today, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Edwards got cut too.
Yeah. Recorded now, you know what I mean? So we're going to play this back.
Hey, this is clean now. This is clean. This is clean.
Listen.
All clean fun here.
Number two is that Rex Ryan some degree, you know, his starting spot. And, I think it backfired on him. And I think this guy had three interceptions. Oh, well, he played all the three quarters. I'm going to put Sanchez in now, and I'm going to show them. No. It backfired on him. And then he got hit. And what happened? He was slow getting up, as usual. Okay? And he had to get medical attention. My thing is, you know, I think it backfired on Rex Ryan. And that thing is something about Rex Ryan as a coach. It's the fourth quarter of a preseason game. Okay? Mm. But he's trying to ram in the throats of everybody, Mark Sanchez being a starting quarterback, and justify Mark Sanchez being a starting quarterback, then now it backfired on him. So now with him being injured, who knows who's going to be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets.
And the point you bring about, which also validates your beauty and intellect, but Larry Hardesty said, you know, the rationale, him and Jamie Hatcher, the rationale of Sanchez being the starting quarterback is because when he falters, you can come back on Geno Smith. If you start Geno Smith as the starting quarterback and he falters, my goodness, do you want to fall back on Sanchez? And now the point that you bring, it just backfires because from a rational standpoint of view, we go back to the same thing. Like you said, like, how do you put him in behind the third-string line, and how do you put him in playing against the third-string defense? And what happened, he completed the pass, but, you know, he got blasted. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Guard Network, remembering none other than the late Dean Mimichin saying happy birthday as the month we founded the Magic. You know, that's a heck of a basketball team. But let's look at the basketball players this month. George McGinnis as one forward, Patrick Ewing the center, John Starks a guard, and Magic Johnson the other guard. We need one more basketball player with a birthday this month. We got the starting five. Take a quick break. Come back, ladies and gentlemen. Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Special Guard Network, live from the Mendoza Mansion, and we're going to talk some boxing. As you know, Curtis Showtime Stevens will be headlining the November 2nd card at Madison Square Garden against Golovkin, and that should be some kind of fight. We're going to talk about Brandon Rios, and also Lady A wanted to talk about the Barker fight. Barker's come back to win, and just give us about maybe 42 seconds or more, and we'll be right back here on Sports and Depth on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust God Radio Network. And with that being said, don't nobody move. Sports and Depth. Cepedo. Sabatella. Sally Brown. And Rena Parker. Our former correspondents. We one more time back in the sports at the Sunday morning. Jets were the winners over the Giants in their Petro Bowl, their yearly Giants-Jets game. The Dodgers, after 18 series, finally lost the series. The Boston Red Sox took 2 out of 3 for the Dodgers this past weekend. Yankees are on the fifth. Derek Sanders and Jeter seems like he's going to be playing again. Mike Tyson, sad and touchy. As Harold Weston has just informed us, has said that he has an alcohol problem, doesn't expect to live long, and it says some other things that you got to wonder what is Mike thinking about when he wants to be a promoter. But in today's society, with him saying that, he'll probably get all the fighters in the world now. And we also won to Tiger Woods, made a nice showing at the Barclay, didn't win it, but I think for all intents and purposes, he's going to be unquestionably the golfer of the year, hasn't won a major now in the last 5-6 years. And the U.S. Open starts today. The great Serena Williams, she's the number one seed among the female players. She is looking for her 16th, 17th Grand Slam title, and she is unequivocally, as Don King would say, the greatest female tennis player right now, greatest female tennis player of her generation, possibly greatest female tennis player of all time, and she's the only female tennis player to regain the number one ranking at the ripe age of 31. And with that, let's get back to Sports in Depth right here on Fox Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. So yesterday, I just want to take a quick break here. Talk about yesterday in Philadelphia, Philly Paul and John Coltrane Festival. Featured singers. You know, John Coltrane was born September 23rd, died July 17, 1969, 2 days before went to military. But yesterday, Coltrane is the open theme we played for our prayer to the Lord. And Paul was featured yesterday at the Coltrane Festival in Philly. Billy Paul was discovered by none other than the greatest alto saxophone of all time, and that's none other than Charlie Parker. And with that, we're going back to Sports in Depth, and it was good to see Billy perform. He and his lovely wife Blanche, they had to run out, but he was a big artist. John Coltrane Festival down in Philadelphia. At the Fisher Garden. Okay. With that, Billy, thanks a lot for being with us. And get back into it. Lady A, you were talking about two things. Brandon Rios fight, that's Pacquiao against Rios. Walker, who won against Gale. Some thoughts and reflections on those two fights.
I thought that Walker had an impressive showing. I thought it was a great fight. One of the things that I kind of, and I don't know if Harold actually had spoken about this in detail in one of the other shows. If he did, I really wasn't privy to it, but just the fact that the amazing body shots that I thought, like, were taking place in that fight was tremendous. And, you know, another thing was that we spoke about before, Doc, was the fact that Parker, he went down. Very few people, when they get down from a shot like that, can get up, you know. And he got up, and, you know, it was amazing to me that the guy didn't just try to finish him by going back to the body. But I think that one of the things that he probably saw was that, oh, my goodness, he started taking all my shots. You know, at this point, you know, what's left for me to do? I think maybe he was a little shocked, too, in the ring. You know, but a good fighter that's a champion is able to make those adjustments, and obviously Barker was able to make the adjustments necessary to pull out the fight. Also, Eddie Cotton seemed to me to give him time to recover from those shots because he was taking a barrage of shots after he got up also. I think it was a good 30 to 45 seconds in the fight that Eddie Cotton kind of gave him to kind of come back and you know, show him something. In that round, I felt like he could have called the fight, but he didn't call the fight. He let him keep fighting. So I know we're going to have Eddie Cotton on the show.
Yeah, you're right. Eddie, he's in Malaysia right now. He's out of the country, but he definitely will be our guest this Sunday night.
Right. I think if we would have asked maybe Bruce Moga or your boy McKenzie, they probably would have called it, you know, just because of the shock that he was taking. You know, but, you know, it's a Monday morning quarterback kind of thing. I just think that Walker really was able to come through for that. And, you know, deservedly so. I think he really earned the championship as far as that fight goes.
Well, you bring the point up because the thing that Gary Shows, who was a promoter, great card, and I think Marius Pierre said at the Monday press conference that Gail Daniel had to fight the fight he was trained to fight. But at the same time, I asked him, well, you know, what do you mean by that? He says, well, you know, he has to fight his training. I said, but what about adjustments? And evidently,
right.
I think one of the reasons why Shaw saluted Barker after the fight was Barker made the adjustment. Now, Mike, GW Mike at ringside alluded to how he liked the basic 1-2 that that Barker was throwing in the gym. And it seems to me that this is a situation of two things, and you know how you can dovetail on this too, as always, in Lady A, is that Barker made the adjustments, and Gail was not able to make the adjustments. And he went away from what made him successful. It's like a guy has a guy's eye bleeding, and now he starts going to the eye instead of doing whatever he did to get that eye cut. I mean, hold it. Now, the biggest factor could be this whole thing. The biggest factor could be this whole thing. Eddie Cotton. Eddie Cotton could be the biggest single factor, the fact that he did not stop that fight. Because I told Eddie, you know what, you were like a psychiatrist, a doctor, and a referee, because had Cotton stopped that fight, nobody would have argued. Lady A?
Absolutely not. But my other thing was, I mean, and I know, you know, Harold was also studying the game. You know, I mean, he boxed. I mean, one of the things I saw that Barker did, which very few fighters are able to do, Harold, you know, you could kind of go in depth with this, is that he was using a lot of hooks too, Harold. He would use a hook combination to that and then go right with the – he had a killer uppercuts in that fight and some serious body shots that he was using in combination to kind of work that body, Barker. So, you know – I saw a lot of little small caveats that they used to kind of get on each other's case in the middle of the ring. Did you catch that, Harold? You were seeing a lot of nice uppercuts and hook shots to kind of work, get inside and get into that body area.
Well, you know, yeah, I think that, you know, those things work, but I think that you just got to just hope that the punches that you do be thrown is the ones that's really connecting and really making them feel the power that you're hitting them with. My point is that in boxing, and this is the real factor of it, is that you just got to kill a man's will, and after you kill his will, then you got him, and that you know, that's that macho situation that comes in. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, you can throw those combinations and it's effective. That if that's getting through all the time, every time you throw it, then yeah, you throw it as many times as you want to. But if the whole thing about it is just staying active and just killing the man's will, and as long as if you can kill his will, then you got him, and that's the bottom line with that fight. What I saw is that he was killing his will. That was the whole thing about it.
And also, like, just the deal. But like you said, as far as his will, you know, the guy just getting up alone is enough to, you know, once you hit somebody like that, I'm going to tell you this, I haven't seen many guys get up for something like that, have you?
Well, you know, I feel, my thing is today, these fighters today, they ain't got much will anyway. So, I mean, if they get knocked down.
That's it, huh? Just give me my paycheck, right? Just give me my money, right, Hal?
Yeah.
Just give me my money. That's it. Y'all get paid
that's
later.
That's it. They ain't going to take no chances. They don't want to get cut. They don't want to get bruised. I mean, so basically their willpower and their pride is, you know, out the window with them. So anything that, you know, they're trying to find ways to, get, you know, win a fight, you know, they get hit low, they, you know, they fall down like they got killed. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a thing where, like I said earlier, is that you don't have – that those fighters that really want to have that respect
you know,
in the world.
You're talking about a situation. You know, before we get further ado, a lot of people are calling now, Doc Sunday Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And if you kind of don't have a clue or know where you're at or what you listen to, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let you know where you're at as we have Mel Cosell Smith Jr. bring you into Voice in Depth Nation.
I see something.
Good doctor, the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is indeed the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rui. And we're right back here. And here we are, gang. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth Podcast, ready on the show. Doc, and then we're going to get the panels in the iconic and the devil. Now, Harold Weston Jr. The heart. And D.W. Plank. Thank you, Chad. Let's talk about the baseball. Thank you, Doc. We dedicated the show to the memory of none other than Dean, the Dream Meminger, and at the same time, taking a moment or two once again to kick out some birthday salutations. The former good buddy, Magic Johnson, has a birthday this month, and he joins a host of other basketball dignitaries. The man who made the dunk, the greatest dunk in New York Knicks history, and one of the greatest dunks in playoff history, none other than John Stocks. On the 10th of this month, he celebrated his birthday. On the 10th, another than the great ABA star and NBA All-Star. So injuries downed him, George McGinnis. And in the middle, there's Patrick Ewing, the founder
of the Georgetown legacy, last great Senator Nixon had, that he will ever have. His birthday's on the 5th. I know the day before that was President Obama. I've been informed that my good buddy, Irving Magic Johnson, had a birthday on the 17th. And so that rounds up a pretty good basketball team. We're going to put Starks and Magic in the backcourt, McGinnis in the front. And we will put Julian in the middle and the hoopster. Right now, we'll play the other. No, we'll put Magic up front and we'll put the.
I'll come off the bench.
No, I need the fifth man right now. What we're going to do, too, real quick. You know, Hal, you talked about, thank you, Mr. Wonder, for the birthday salutation. You talked about, you know, guys trying to beg out. I remember when Durant fought Kenny Buchanan. And remember how Buchanan tried to play that low blow and thinking that the referee would stop the fight, but the referee said, hey, listen, I'll give you all the time in the world to get better, but you're going to go back here and finish taking this beat. Remember that, Hal?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he did get hit low, but, I mean, Kenny was just trying to get out of it because he was getting the dog beat out of him. He was trying to get his disqualification. But he forgot that we don't disqualify here in New York City.
We fight.
Yeah, you got to fight back in them days.
You got to put your hands up.
You know, like I said, these guys try to find – let me tell you what the real loophole in this whole thing about boxing is. These guys now are trying to get cut early in the fight, okay, and win four rounds. And after the fourth round, they go to the judges' scorecard, okay? The problem is you're getting a lot of guys that's trying to pull this and not stopping the cut. All they try and do is get this win so they can get out of there early because they know that the other guy might catch up with him later on. So they win in those first three or four rounds real quick, you know, just throwing punches and everything, and then get cut, and then they say, I can't stop the cut. That's a bad influence on our sport because people are seeing that, and that's not working for us. And people
Harold,
don't understand.
Not to mention, don't you have a cut man in the corner?
That's what you're supposed to have. Like I said, it's a sad situation that they're doing this. They got this new rule for that, and that's what a lot of fighters and managers are doing right now. If you see a lot of fights, you'll see guys who cannot beat the other guy. He'll get cut. He'll win the first two or three rounds, and then he's got a cut. Then all of a sudden, he can't stop the cut.
Doc, okay. You know, just to add to what he's saying, I think you saw that in the Mikey Garcia fight. Harold, I don't know if you saw it. He got his nose broken. And it was a championship fight. The ninth round, they turn around, and they're like, that's it. He can't go on any further. Let's go to the scorecard. And now, you know, the championship is his. It's like, you know, I think you've seen it in all different types of the spectrum on the weight classes. I mean, I don't really think it's isolated to one weight class either, Doc. I think you've seen it in different weight classes.
What you were saying is what Harold was saying. It's in the sport. You know, it's not, it's like boxing. People can't fight
in
the welterweight and the heavyweight division. So what you're saying, this is a disease that's part, and sadly, and once again, Harold, you better kind yourself. I'm going down to trademark quick. Sad and touching that this is the mindset in the game today.
Yeah, guys don't want to go out on their shield. That's what the problem is coming down to.
I was just going to say, I think that that's something that, again, we talked about this in the past, that the commission has to step in and work on. I mean, you know, they're supposed to be the ones policing the sport.
You have to understand, I think, and GW Mike is with us. You know, we have to understand there's two things.
What's up,
Mike?
How you doing?
What's up, Lady A? How are you?
All right, buddy.
The great thing that the Dutch always talk about, these weekly commissions, you know, their concern is the monies. They're concerned, and then I think Hal has told us redundantly that half of them are in the promoters have them in their pocket. So it's Hal once again, baby, it's about the 80 times, sad and touchy. But this is just the way it is. You know, I remember the great line that Joe Louis talked about. It was Hal who told us.
No, it's not the way it is. It don't have to be the way it is. That's what gets
you.
It don't have to be the way it is. It can be stopped.
But it's not going to be stopped. Hal, you know, you understand how you are not the rule, you're the exception. You don't understand it. And you are not in the position in the game anymore, which is sad and touching again. But, you know, there are people here who don't care.
But you know who's in position? You give me a radio show like this, or any radio show, I bet you I'll be in position.
Okay, well,
well,
hey,
hey, gang, I want to tell you right now, by the grace of God.
Don't tell me I'm in position.
God.
I'm in position.
Hold on, gang.
Hey, Harold, it sounds like I hear a comeback here. I hear a comeback.
No,
hey,
it's just the point is that I get tired of people saying, you can't do nothing. I can do anything in the world like this country. We're free enough to do something. We vote for our president. We vote for people in office that do rules for us. But we can't do something and not put their asses in the court. If we put the news out there and let the media hear about it and then let the government hear about it, believe me, we had an investigation in the 60s. We almost stopped boxing. Don't tell me you can't do nothing. If you talk loud enough and you stay on top of it, believe me, it can be done.
How
I'm voting for president right now.
Hey, listen. How you sound like you were down there to march on Washington, baby.
We should go
there. I want to bring Harold to Capitol Hill right now. I want to bring Harold to Capitol Hill right now.
Speak in front of the monument right now.
And everybody said, amen.
Hey. Preach, I'll preach. Goddamn. That's what you preach.
Hey, this is what I want to say. Since 999, to Doc Stanley, care of Harold Weston Jr., and we will make sure that your donation gets in the right hands. We right now want to thank God through Harold. Harold has set us up in a position that Sports in Depth can go on. Possibly WWRL. We're going to send them one of our top shows. We're looking for some sponsors. And if everything works right, Sports in Depth can move to AM radio, louder voice, and that platform that not only Harold needs, that we all need. I don't think there's a better radio show. There's a better core of people with the intellect, with the knowledge of Sports in Depth. People's diverse intellect turns into the world in depth. And so we're going to keep it in prayer. I'm going to submit one of our two best shows. And Harold, once again, the first African-American matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden, the only MSG welterweight champion, the first guy to really beat Wilfred Benitez, the first guy who was going to beat Tommy Hearns, and he has paved the way for us. So we want to take that opportunity to stop right here and thank Harold. We're going to put in prayer. And so we have an opportunity where the doors have been opened by, you know, so I just said, no, it's what you know, who you know. So, Harold, I think everybody, let's just right here and say, hey, Harold, thanks a lot, baby. Everybody say thanks, thanks,
well,
Harold.
Sign us, please. Give us a contract.
Shout out to Harold.
Because Harold has given us a chance. We want to play, give us a chance to get in the game, a chance to swing the bat. And, you people know me and Harold go, the things that Harold Weston has done and said that validate what Harold is as a person. You know, Harold wasn't the kind of guy. We deal in a racist society. And I remember what Miles Davis once said, and ironically enough, it was Miles Davis who was introduced to Harold by Art Russ, who told Harold, every fight you got, just give me 4 tickets. And I remember Harold said, Miles said he didn't care if a lizard was in his band, as long as you could play the instrument. And I remember Harold, as I redundantly do so often, walked into his office, and Harold was talking to a guy on the phone. Harold said, I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? Okay? That's what Harold said. Can he fight? And it was Harold Weston. Now, when you talk about Hector Camacho, you talk about one of the greatest fighters that ever lived. And Harold, I felt about Hector the same way Harold did. Harold said CBS, NBC, ABC would call him and say, hey, we got to fight for Camacho June the 10th. I said, okay, we take it. They would say, Harold, don't you want to know who he's fighting? Harold said, it don't matter who he's fighting.
Yeah.
Who cares who he's fighting?
Hey, Doc, let me tell you something. I try to do something with the boxing world, and I'm going to tell you how flaky this whole thing was in boxing. You remember the time I was trying to form a school for fighters to get their GEDs
and try to educate them and try to move forward. They can, you know, hold, take care of their own financing and have, you know, certain people they know
what
they're doing
did,
with their money.
What you did is amazing because what you see the problem with that, Howard, was you're going to educate and they're going to do what you did. Go ahead.
Right. But let's say this. What happened was certain managers, I ain't going to mention their names, certain managers in the sport and promoters had a nerve to tell those fighters that don't do that because Howard Weston's going to make money off you. Now, I had teachers who were going to give them classes and everything to, you know, to get these kids back into to reading and get their education and get their scholarships and stuff. And those fighters had a nerve. And now I'm going to tell you who the fighters was. Camacho, Mark McDowell, all right, Iran Barkley, quite a few kids, okay? All kids that needed education. Didn't go to the classes. Private tutoring, I was getting them. Private tutoring, and they didn't accept because what those managers said. Now, that's how, what I'm dealing with in this society, and Doc, why I'm saying this is because I know you can reach out and stop certain things. It just got to be heard. And if I bring the case before any committee, believe me, boxing will be in trouble.
He's in trouble now. Not good like he used to be.
Mike, you going to jump in for a minute?
Yeah. You know, Harold, I do want to say one thing. I was talking to an old associate of yours who you fought in the amateurs. I had nothing but wonderful things to say about you. A guy by the name of Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, which I'm sure
you
know.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My neck of the woods.
Hold on. Hey. From Brownsville, came up as Eddie the Flame Gregory. Harold, you said he could hit, right?
Oh, yeah, I fought him. Four
million amateurs, 4 million. Yeah, he can hit. All Brownsville guys can hit. You kidding me?
I should have beat Michael Spinks.
But go ahead, Mike.
These are things, though. Different breed of fighters.
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. We were talking about the same thing because we were there with Mike Tyson and we're just, you know, shooting the shit about the old timers. And then, you know, I said, you know, your era, the era that you guys came up, Harold, was, I mean, I still say it's the last best generation of fighters. And I
no
say it's probably
it.
A pinnacle because it was a pinnacle because it reached the point where it was everything caught up, nutrition, balance, you know, everybody was in shape. We knew back then what we know now, certain levels of athletes. And so it was like almost like the prime generation. And just to see these guys, everybody in that era was tough. And we were just talking about it. And he even said it's you don't know where it's going. But he had very good things to say about you. Very, very good things to say about you.
Yeah, Eddie is my man.
Eddie's another friend. A legend. Rooney, you know, you came in here in the studio. You hear what's in about boxing, but we wanted to a quick reflection on the sad and touching acknowledgement this past Friday of and a point well taken about what a great young man he was, but the loss of number 7, Dean Eugene Meminger, who passed away this Friday. Just some thoughts and reflections on Dean Meminger from you, Mel Kelsell Smith Jr.
Thank you, Doc. A very good ball player, you know, exciting, you know, fun to watch. And he was cerebral. That's why I was surprised. Mm-hmm. Well, not too much surprised, because we had heard about the demons that he had been, you know, fighting earlier, you know,
support. Stop. Give me a minute. You brought a point about him. That it's just right, his intellect, and which makes you say how sad and touching it was. Somebody, but I remember one sports writer said, you know, have you ever talked to Dean? Say when you talk to Dean Meminger, you know, you need a dictionary because you know Dean was using the word transition way back in the day. You know, in retrospect,
yeah.
And you're right, a very intelligent young man.
Yeah, very cerebral, Doc. Really was.
Yeah.
Very exciting to watch. And by all accounts, you know, a pretty, you know, pretty nice guy. I never had the pleasure of meeting him personally. But by all the, you know, ball players that I've spoken to who knew Dean, you know, everybody had nothing but glowing things personally you know, to say about him. I was sorry to hear about his relatively early and untimely death. I believe he was the tender age of 65 or somewhere about there, which isn't old at all, and, you know, these days. So, yes, I have to say, Doc, my thoughts and prayers obviously go out to the Memminger family, and he will indeed be missed. A great ball player, and, you know, I can only say that I've only heard any just a good, you know, good things about, you know, Dean the person, and I wish you would have been able to do more with the, you know, demons that he, you know, had to fight off the court. But I've heard, you know, and again, my prayers and best, you know, wishes go out to the, you know, Memminger family. I know this is, you know, a great loss to them and the basketball world.
Yeah. He was an integral part of the last championship Knick team, integral part of the basketball society. Ironically enough, this Saturday, he was going to be honored at the Legendary Rucker Tournament. A good buddy of mine last time I was on as a Parker. He got a good 2 minutes gang with gloves out. And, you know, it's said such a – and we want to go to Rooney. First of all, we want to know, did you have anything to do with Mark Sanchez being knocked out the game on Saturday? This is called your Ouija board.
That's not funny.
No,
that's, not funny.
Doc, that's not
funny.
That's not funny. Because, you know, I hate to say this, Doc. This is just really in the crew that – the crew here knows me. I'm not ashamed of too many things. I'm really not. But I do have to say I had a little bit of shame, Doc. But I'm going to be honest with you guys and tell you anyway. When he got hit and I saw that he was on the way out, I have to say I actually didn't shed a tear over him being out.
You are so disrespectful. You are so disrespectful. You are something else. You are so disrespectful.
I have to say.
Where's
Seaway
when we need him now? Where's Seaway at? Seaway's never let you hear you talk like that. That's
unbelievable.
I'm glad that's
been diagnosed as a.
Are you kidding me?
Nobody
I know you got your mic cut off now.
And nothing more than that. I'm glad it's been diagnosed as booze and hopefully nothing more than that. I hope it doesn't get any deeper than that. But I have to say
when
we got that monster hit from the Giants defensive line, I have to say, I really didn't feel the tear at the time.
Well, you know, I can tell you, Lady A talked about, and the thing that we sat there in the booth, sitting there with the legendary Larry Hardesty, the voice that opens and closes this show, Jamie Harris, the iconic writer from the Amsterdam News, and I was sitting with another guy at the ESPN, and the question that we asked was, first of all, what was Sanchez doing in the game in the fourth quarter, you know, especially against a third-string defense in a third-string line? Lady A, being the genius that she is, said it was very simple, Doc. You know, now Geno Smith had three quarters. He had three INTs. It's already known that Sanchez is going to be the starting quarterback. He's not going to play Thursday. So what Coach Ryan is going to do to validate his geniusy and the validation that I'm right, I'm the coach, he's going to play Sanchez. And inadvertently what happened? It just made no sense whatsoever. As you turn around, they came back and won the game without Sanchez. And, it, you know, Rooney, it made no sense whatsoever. There was no rationale.
But Rex's excuse for the whole thing, Doc, and this is his excuse, and he's sticking by it, apparently, is, well, you know, as you know, I we needed him. What that means, I don't really know. But he claims that they needed him, and that was the only reason that, you know, he was brought into the game. As the incredible Lady A said, though, and this is the truth, Doc, and I want to say this right off the bat, okay? That could have happened. I know what the circumstances were, but that could have happened to anybody that was playing quarterback behind center. That could have easily have been Geno Smith that happened to. I mean, guys get hit in this game, Doc. I know it was the fourth quarter. I know it was the fourth quarter. And you know, I know it's, you know, towards the end of the game. But these things happen in pro football, Doc.
Yeah, yeah, but the point is, if he's not there, it doesn't happen.
Are you trying to say that, oh, this is football and that happens? Be a man and get up?
Well, I'm not going to challenge the dude's heart. I'm not going to challenge his heart, Lady A. But, I mean, this is a pro. The NFL. You know? This is the NFL.
Hey, Rooney, that's like going to the Giants sitting on you.
Hey, Rooney, why not challenge hard? Rooney, you challenge everything else. You might as well challenge his heart, too. You ain't left him nothing else.
No, I understand that, Doc, but on this occasion, I'm not going to challenge the heart. I'm going to say that, you know, this could happen to anybody. You know, Doc, seriously, you know, Harold knows this is a fighter. I know this is a former wrestler, and guys in pro football know this. When you step on a field, man, anything can happen. You literally are taking your life in your own hands.
So, and to a testament to Sanchez, you know, Sanchez does have heart. We have to redundantly keep saying he doesn't have the weapons he had before. Bannon back to Helen Edwards is going to be advantageous to him. So, you know, in a lot of ways, he's done well so far in the preseason. In a lot of ways, he's earned the starting job, and he has been a guy that's willing to lead, and he has showed a lot of heart. We've got about a good 9 minutes left, gang. So what we're going to do, Rooney do the closing mic on, lights off, and then we'll break out from there. Doc Stanley, Sports and the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. Mel Kelsell Smith Jr. has something to say.
Good doctor, the Sports and Depth Nation's been here. The Sports and Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The store that serves the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. Gang, don't worry, I move. Caroline Hart, she has something to say.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday.
That we've got ourselves 3, 5, 7 minutes. So what we're going to do, the panel is here. The first lady of SIND Sports, incomparably iconic, Lady A, double barrel, Harold Weston Jr., the first and only, the last great matchmaker, maybe the last great matchmaker in boxing. And the only African-American matchmaker history of MSG, African-American-wise, and the only MSG welterweight champion. He wears his tights. He doesn't slam. No. Coach Self, a.k.a. Little Joker, on WWF, Dutch Cheek, WWE, Mike at ringside, one of the intellects, one of the geniuses of the sweet science. The loser, the legend from Brownsville. He can take it down low off the dribble. And he remembers Michael Johnson's birthday. With that, gang, let Marvin Gaye have his say, and maybe we'll have a minute or two. I'll leave you with 3 thoughts. Live your life today. Live it before God tomorrow. Mike's local sister, most urgent question is, what are you doing for service to others? To make your payments. Space here on Earth. That's Ali. Ali, serve others and your faith for your space here on Earth. Dr. King, life's local sister, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And another great line he says, forgiveness is not an occasional act. The permanent state of mind. Gentlemen, just a second.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. Flowers won't grow.
And Mom, a little bit in the background, Lady. Hey, you wanted to do a quick thing? We got a couple minutes. Rios and Parker. Did you mention about Rios?
No, I was just going to say, as far as the Rios Pacquiao fight, I don't know if you and I had a conversation about Pacquiao and actually fighting in the States. But I don't know if the actual fans know that he's not going to be fighting in the States anymore because of the tax reasons. He said he's not going to fight in the United States, so most of the rest of his fights, I don't know if you mentioned it on the other five shows, so I figured I'd throw it out there.
No, we didn't. Once again, you bring to the world like we just first started.
You know what's so crazy?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, lady, you know what's so crazy about him? Who cares? He got knocked out last time. Oh, so if you don't fight in the stadium, nobody's going to go anyway. So what's up with
that? I wanted to ask Harold a question. Do you feel that the weight difference with Rios might make be a bit of a problem, being they have to go up to 147, fighting at 140. Do you feel that that may be a bit of a problem for Rios or no?
Not really, because Rios getting $5 million or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that him going up and waiting for his boxing?
Rios will make 106 if he had to $5 million.
Yeah. Money.
and be strong at that too.
My question is not really pertaining to weight, but more to the fact that as far as in the ring, do you think he's gonna be able to take those shots, or you think he'll be a little bit more different than
us? Let me tell you what's gonna happen to Rios, Lady A. First, he's fighting in his hometown, okay? So let me just give you an analyst of. He's fighting his hometown in his country. There's no way in the world he's going to win over there. That's one thing. Manny Pacquiao is going to, do a lot of movement and everything. He's going to win the fight by decision. He's not going to even try to go in there and try to knock a guy out, because you know why? He's too shy. And that's the only time, if he attacks Rios, he's going to attack him if he hit him with a shot and hurt him. But otherwise, he's not going to take any chances of getting knocked out, especially in his hometown.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on, lady, hold to his Marvin, please.
But you really care.
A lot of ways, Marvin was speaking for you, Hal. Who really cares, right? Gang, we had a roll real quickly. I just need a yay or a nay. Lady A, Rios Pacquiao, who do you pick? Give me a name.
I'm going to say Pacquiao, but I think Pacquiao, I don't think Pacquiao's going to fight. I don't think Pacquiao's going to fight him straight up. Brandon Rios has a good chin, so I see Pacquiao doing what Arrow said, was sticking and moving.
Okay, I need who you pick, because we got a roll. Hoopsa, Pacquiao, Rios.
Pacquiao. So Pacquiao needs this fight. This is the most important fight. Pacquiao must win this fight or he's done.
Okay, gentlemen, I just need a name. Rudy?
Pacquiao, good doctor.
Mm-hmm. GW Mike at ringside.
Pacquiao, easy.
And Harold Weston Jr.?
I'm with Mike. Pacquiao, easy, especially in that situation.
Yeah. He's fighting in the living room. He's got the referees. He's got the food style. It's Pacquiao. No doubt about it. Gentlemen.
Hey, let me say this. And he's got the person by the light switch just in case anything does happen. Let's go.
It goes off, right?
I got one thing I got to say before we go. I say we all support Harold to go to Capitol Hill. We need Harold on Capitol Hill. That's what we need.
Hey, listen. $25 to Doc Stanley, care of the Harold Weston Fund. We'll make sure Harold gets the money. Maybe.
You gotta tax him, though.
From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Back to the Sports in Depth on Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God. Thanks again, Reverend Keith Mendoza and his lovely wife, Susan, Honorable Susan Mendoza, as we broadcasting live from the Mendoza Mansion. Gang,
and
we want to
thank them for you. Tell them thank you. You know.
I did. Gang, we're going. Dean, we miss
you.
Happy birthday, squeeze.
Take care, fellas. Bye-bye.